lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of biblical church structure, it's taken from the book, Biblical Church Structure, by Pastor Dr. Andy Bloom of Central Baptist Church in Ocala, Florida. As we looked at this, we saw qualifications for the pastor, and there's also qualifications for the deacon. And I left off last time by quoting Dr. Andy Bloom, and I read part of what he had said. Now let me read some more of it. It says, "The pastor, the deacon relationship is not a subject that stirs sentimental and fond memories for many churches. That is why I did more in-depth study of the history, Greek, and technical commentaries for my book, Biblical Church Structure. My study concerning deacons comes at the expense of study and prayer, with the hope that men will look at what saith the Scripture, and not, but I was always told." In other words, he's saying, look at what God says and not what men have said. And that quote comes from Dr. Andy Bloom. And as we look at the qualifications for a deacon, keep in mind that this, what we look at, is based upon the Word of God. Well, there is an office of the deacon. And in the New Testament, there were only two offices for a local church, and that is pastor, that's singular one, and deacons, that's plural, more than one. And then we see that the pastor or and board or group of deacons are never in Scripture placed on an equal level of authority. The pastor is in control. He is the under-shepherd of the Lord. Never is a pastor indicated as being accountable to the board of the local church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And the Word of God is speaking here about the people. It's unprofitable for the people not to follow along and understand that God has an order that's set within the local church, and we're to follow God's order. Not man's order, but God's order. If a pastor really believes in the chastening and judging hand of God, then he will be more fearful of God than being accountable to a board of men. Those who say, do you think it is right that the pastor has no accountability? Well, when they say that, they show a total lack of knowledge of God's judgment, or they simply do not believe it. The history of the early church after the passing of the apostles and the writings of the New Testament shows an office set up by the apostles. And that was in accordance with the same order and tendency that such rank and order was elevated above laymen. In other words, above the individuals in that local congregation. And the duties of those holding this office consisted chiefly in the collection and administration of the finances of the church. And we see that this office also called for the assisting of the bishop, in other words, the pastor, in exercise of discipline. They attended to the preservation of order during the religious services and assisted in the celebration of the Lord's Supper and in the administration of baptism. You see, there's a place for everyone within the local church, the pastor, the deacon, and the person who is a member of that local church. Well, in Acts chapter 4, or chapter 6, the office of deacon was established. And I'm going to read that. And if you have your Bible, let me ask you to open your Bible to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now, of course, if you're driving and you're listening to this in your automobile, please do not open your Bible as you're driving, unless you're a passenger. If you're driving, please do not open your Bible and start reading. Just listen as I go through this and share with you the Word of God as found in Acts chapter 6. Starting with verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I think there's a key word there, that obedient, that word obedient. And I believe that we see a lot that is lacking in our local churches today, Bible-believing, fundamental, independent Baptist churches, because many are not being obedient to the faith. They're following away. In other words, they're not doing what God wants them to do according to the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to name everything, and I'm not going to name anything that I believe they're not doing. There's many things, but I'm simply saying that people have gotten away from thus saith the Lord. And we're seeing the result of that in many areas of Christian life within local churches today. Well, with the passing of the apostolic office, pastors had the role of delegating work to the deacons. In 1 Timothy, we see that Timothy addresses the pastor first, then deacons. And in Titus chapter 1, Titus is instructed to ordain pastors. No mention is made of deacons in the book of Titus there in Titus chapter 1. Well, one can start a church without deacons. Many people don't understand this, but a church can start without deacons, but one cannot start a church without a pastor, without a preacher. A deacon is a transliteration from the word diaconus. In other words, the word was not translated. It was merely given an English sound, deacon. Well, the primary definition of deacon is an errand runner. And some people get confused with this, but that's exactly what the word deacon means, the definition. Usually, preachers and teachers will tell you the word deacon means servant. And that's true in a general sense. But in the Bible, there were stewards. The stewards were also servants. But steward describes what kind of servant. And a deacon describes what kind of a servant. He is a runner. He gets the job done. He's on an errand for the Lord. And we also see that a deacon is a servant, but the word deacon tells us what kind of servant. And when we look at this, we see that in order to be an errand runner, you do errands for someone in authority or with delegated authority. Now, the pastor has delegated authority from our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gives him the authority, the pastor, the authority to do what's necessary in the local church. We look back and we see that in the early church, the pastor would see a need and then have a trusted deacon that would do the work the pastor delegated. And this is in order for the pastor to give himself to prayer and to study. And I'm going to read that verse in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is what a pastor is to do. Give himself continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, many men sincerely look on the office of deacon as a board of authority that keeps the pastor right, In other words, I'm going to keep him right. I'm going to make sure this pastor does everything according to what we think, what I think as a deacon. They do this. The deacon will often do this because they have never been instructed in righteousness and doctrine concerning the manner in which they are to be under the authority of someone else. And that someone else is the pastor, who is under the authority of God. Now, of course, the deacon is also under the authority of God, but the pastor is the one who is the leader. He's the one who has the oversight. And the deacons, they've been reared many times to believe, and in many local churches, they've been reared or taught to believe that the deacons run the church. And this is totally unscriptural. They are not to run the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, it tells us that they that have used the office of deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree. Now, you see, it's a good degree because they meet the qualifications laid out in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, and Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Well, in this day, there are a few men in our churches who are full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And that was a qualification back then. They said, look you out, men full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Well, this is something that before a person becomes a deacon, there needs to be much prayer, just as there is before a person becomes a pastor. There needs to be much prayer, not only on the part of the deacon himself, but also the people of God need to pray and seek God's face and ask God to do what's necessary to supply the deacon. In other words, to choose the man that God would have in that office. Well, there are certain qualifications of a deacon. We're going to look at a few of those right now. Next time, we'll look at others. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Well, you see, a deacon is to be grave. In other words, he must be serious and composed. The deacon is a man who is respectable, showing the dignity of a man. And the deacon is to be a man who he inspires respect by his conduct and his behavior. And then we see in the verse also that he's not to be double-tongued. In other words, he's not to be deceitful, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. He's not to be over-talkative or saying one thing to one person and the contrary to another on the same subject. This is hypocrisy and deceit. And this word might also be translated liars. In other words, that deacon is not to be a liar, but he is to tell it like it is, just like the pastors to tell it like it is. And it's to be based upon the Word of God, and truth is the Word of God. And once again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what the deacon is to be. He's to tell the truth. He's not to say one thing to one person and then something else to another person, but he is to tell it like it is. And I wonder today, has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This is something that is so important, because it means heaven if you've trusted Jesus Christ. And if you have not, it means hell. And that's just the way the Bible puts it. The person who has not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, well, they're on their way to hell. They're not on their way to heaven. And you need to turn to Jesus today and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I can't save myself. Please come into my heart. I want you as my Savior. Won't you trust Him today as your Lord and Savior? Ask Him into your heart and live for Him, because He's coming soon, and we want to be ready when He comes.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.